Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And today, being a slow news day, what we do here at the studio, we've done this on and off for, 25 years now, is we'll keep a stack of newspapers. And so here I've got the Denver Post, the Sunday edition of the Denver Post, right here. They still actually print this thing. I wonder how much longer that will be that they'll be printing newspapers. And when you go through the news, it's not unlike what Jesus would do in the Gospels. The Lord would talk about a news report, and then he would comment on it, of course, from a biblical perspective. Biblical because he is God the Son become flesh, and God gave to mankind the Scriptures. The Scriptures are God-breathed, as we read in the New Testament. And so Jesus would talk about the news, and it's pretty fascinating the things he would do with the headlines. He would use them, for example, to rebuke believers for their superstition and to focus people on what really mattered. So here, let's dig right in to the Denver Post. Sunday Denver Post, November 6th, 2016. And here's, our first local story here out of Colorado. Oh, this is at CU up in Boulder, University of Colorado. This is, what a tragic story, but if you're a liberal, what's a liberal to do? I mean, we've been up on the campus up at CU. We've held events there, and one of those events was directly related to this story here. The headline is that there was a sexual assault reported at a dorm at CU in Boulder. So police say a sexual assault happened early Saturday at a dormitory building on the University of Colorado at Boulder. Now that's a great tragedy. That's horrific. Women are vulnerable. Men are vulnerable. Children are vulnerable. Wives are vulnerable. I mean, our culture is so violent and so sexually perverse. But in this case, we have been up on the campus, and I have, we held an event outside of their student union where we had a platform and a PA system. And I was talking to the students, whoever were there gathered, probably 80 people gathered, mostly students, some faculty, some staff. And I was talking about right and wrong, and of course they rejected the notion of right and wrong, that there's no such thing as right or wrong, and that's common. If you watch our video, Get Out of the Matrix, you'll see students on a college campus where we filmed that saying, no, there's no such thing as right or wrong. So I asked when I made that statement, and the student body, they were disagreeing that there is no such thing as right or wrong. And I said, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And they say no, and the whole crowd applauds. Now, is that a surprise? No, that's not a surprise at all, because that's what our post-Christian culture is all about, that there is no such a thing as right or wrong. So you have a sex assault on the CU campus, and liberals rightly complain that these things are happening, but they don't believe in right and wrong. They don't say there's right and wrong. They say if it feels good, do it. Question authority. If it feels good, do it. There is no such thing as right or wrong, and we're just animals, and there's no God who will hold us accountable. So if you're just animals, I mean, animals that could be pretty rough on one another. Some of them eat one another alive. They eat one another while they're still alive. So the campus police department says it was alerted to the assault at a room in Hallett Hall at 2:15 in the morning, and investigators say the suspect is a white college-age man, 5'9", medium build, and short, dark, curly hair. He was wearing tan pants and a white t-shirt. So great. Hallett Hall up there, it's for freshmen, houses over 400 students. So the police say they're investigating the incident, and they give a phone number to call, and I won't give out the phone number, but they say you could remain anonymous, but we could point out that, hey, the students say there's no such thing as right or wrong. The faculty, they say, we're just animals. There is no ultimate accountability. There's no difference between someone who lives their life helping those who are suffering versus Adolf Hitler. Once they're dead, they're dead. So survival of the fittest, and the strong can have their way with the weak. So from that left-wing worldview, how do you condemn this behavior? You see, from a Christian worldview, this woman's God-given rights were violated. And as Jesus said, the things that are done at night will be exposed in the day. So the things done in the dark of night will be exposed in the light of day. So that's what's going to happen to this criminal, whether he's caught right here or not. But if it's not wrong for a man to do this to a woman, and that's what undoubtedly the majority of students would say, if you ask them, I mean, to think about it. Not just off the cuff, but think about it in front of a room full of other students. Is there such a thing as right and wrong? Is there such a thing? No? Well, is it wrong for a man to rape a woman? Well, is it absolutely wrong? No. And so there you have it. So we have spent billions of dollars teaching young people that they're animals, and we're surprised when they behave like animals. All right, what's the next story here? This is in the business section of the Sunday Denver Post, and it's on marijuana. And it's a piece by Alicia Wallace, Investing in Marijuana. It's a very positive piece, and this is mainstream businesses that are zeroing in on all the profit that could be made from marijuana. And she talks about Scott's Miracle-Gro, you know that company? They make like fertilizer for your plants. And Microsoft are, and then she lists all different companies, lengthy article, and the ways that they are marketing their products to the pot industry. Isn't that wonderful? And they point out that marijuana, and this is Alicia Wallace writing, marijuana could be a $50 billion market by 2026, in 10 years from now. It could be a $50 billion market if weed were to become legal at the federal level. She calls it weed. This is on the front page of the business section of the Denver Post. Isn't that cute? Alicia Wallace. Do you think she has read our page on the negative effects of marijuana? If she hasn't, she's missing out on the world's most complete listing of the peer-reviewed, published scientific papers showing the devastation that marijuana is having on millions of people. And the latest study is how cruel it is to the poor. Because, well, the poor, they're poor. And they like to forget about their difficulties. And so pot, there's no legal issue. You just stumble out your front door, walk down to the corner if you live downtown Denver, and you buy some pot at a dispensary. And so the poor are being devastated by the decriminalization of marijuana. But sin is selfishness. And so the selfishness expressed by people raising their fist toward God and saying, don't tell me what to do, when it should be criminal to get high. It should be criminal to get drunk. But our federal government, decades ago, gave grants to the states for them to decriminalize public drunkenness. Did you know it's not a crime to be drunk in public? It's not a crime. They've decriminalized it, so they will pick you up, if they're so inclined, and they'll bring you to a detox center and drop you off. And at the detox center, they'll take away your shoes, so you try not to leave until you sober up, and then you leave. And that happened nationwide in this country a half a century ago. And it also happened in England, happened in Australia. So they decriminalized public drunkenness. And so also, of course, today, being high also. Being high, whether you use alcohol or marijuana or some other illicit drug, you get high, you lose control of your faculties, you make bad judgments, you are a risk, you are grossly negligent because you are a human being with extraordinary capabilities and now you are not in control, you are not in moral control of those capabilities. So you think you drive better when you're high, when you smoke pot, you think you, well, just the whole story. So the cruelty to the poor, the devastation of the use of marijuana, and you got Alicia Wallace thinking she's so cute, what a little cutie, saying, you know, if we legalize weed at the federal level, it'll be a $50 billion market. Isn't that exciting? Imagine all the additional money that Microsoft could make selling into that industry. Even Scott's Miracle-Gro and 1,000 other companies. So if you're a public company, you make filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. So the filings with the SEC, you could search them, like, you know, with a computer. And so when you do that and you look for the word marijuana, back in 2012, SEC filings, the word marijuana appeared in about 100 documents. This is the stock market, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission filings. Last year in 2015, there were over 1,100 mentions of marijuana. So from 2012 to 2015, big business recognizing the money they could make, much of it off the poor, all of it off the stupid. Why do you think they call it dope? Hey, they're all excited about this. And so also cannabis, by the way, the use of the term cannabis has exploded. In 2012, there were 30 references with the SEC filings, and in 2015, 560. So, hey, it's big, right? So Alicia Wallace is the alleged journalist who wrote this article, Non-Pot Businesses Zeroing In. And she might want to read our article at Real Science Radio, rsr.org/pot, because probably she's largely unaware of the devastation caused by marijuana and the lie of marijuana. And she could educate herself. And if you have a loved one, a friend who thinks pot is great, thinks it's fun, it's worthwhile, doesn't hurt anybody, just give them the link, rsr.org/pot. Don't give it to them while they're high. It's not worth it. Give it to them while they're sober. All right, let's continue. Since today, November 8th, 2016, is a slow news day, what do we have here? The Sunday Denver Post. Here's, a full-page advertisement by Christians. Wow, this has got to be fabulous. You know what this costs? Not only here, but this is in newspapers around the country. Now, I know people don't read newspapers any longer, and you're really getting ripped off when you pay for a full-page ad in a newspaper. But, hey, these people got money, right? This is David Barton and James Dobson and others, Dr. Creflo Penny, and, you know, a dozen others who've signed this. And they ask you to sign it. Just go to a website and sign it. And, of course, then they get your name and address and your email ID, and they use that to fundraise you. But the reason they're taking out this ad, our declaration of dependence upon God and His Holy Bible. I mean, this is such a strong, public statement, unashamed, for the Lord God, our Creator, right? And Jesus Christ, as it says clearly in here. This is exciting. Except that this is just more election-timed manipulation of Christians, just like the Fathom event in theaters around the country past couple weeks, Revive Us, with Kirk Cameron and Ben Carson, Vote for the Lesser of Two Evils. After all, it's just like a paper cut. That's what they said. Voting for the Lesser of Two Evils, it's just like a paper cut. Don't worry about it. So you got a candidate who wants to kill some of the Jews. Don't worry about it. It's like a paper cut. You got a candidate who wants to enslave some of the blacks, not all the blacks, just some of the blacks. Don't worry. It's like a paper cut. You got a candidate who promises you that he's going to kill innocent children. Don't worry. It's like a paper cut. And they do this. They don't have to say register Republican. They don't have to say vote for the Republican slate. They don't have to say vote for Donald Trump. That's the purpose of the whole thing. And you are being manipulated if you go to the theaters for Kirk Cameron's Revive Us, or you read this Declaration of Dependence upon God in His Holy Bible, and you don't realize what they're doing to you, then you're being manipulated. So let's see, what does it say? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Now, what does that word mean? Inalienable, it's also said unalienable. What does that mean? Well, it means they cannot be negotiated away. That's what it means. Like, you have the right to life. If some filmmaker is making a movie where he wants people to be killed in one of the scenes, if he pays you, say he gives you $50,000, money for your family, can you give him your right to life and let him kill you during the filming of the movie? Would that be right? Would it be legal? Would it be just? No, it's not right. It's unjust. And that's why we are told, which is accurate, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. They cannot be negotiated away. The problem is David Barton and Dr. James Dobson are the lead negotiators when it comes to lying about and supporting Republican candidates who promise that they will kill some innocent children. That's their platform. That's their policy. Forget Roe v. Wade. Forget the Democrats. Forget Planned Parenthood. This is the policy of the candidates who Dr. James Dobson tells you to support, and David Barton. I have a dear Christian friend, pro-life, and I said, David Barton, of course he's going to support child killers like Mitt Romney. This was 4 years ago. And my dear Christian friend said, David Barton would never support Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney is a child killer. And he's a socialist. And he's the father of homosexual marriage. And he is the lead aggressor against religious liberties, Mitt Romney. He's all that wrapped up into one person. So, of course, David Barton wouldn't tell people to vote for Mitt Romney. And I said, boy, are you confused. Are you a bit naive on all this? So we Googled it, and David Barton had just written an article and said, if you don't vote for Mitt Romney, you are sinning. You're sinning. How's that? God warns us, don't make your own spiritual laws. Because then you're God, right? You make up a law and say, if you break this law, you're sinning, and you just made it up. So you think you're God. If you don't vote for Mitt Romney, you're sinning. Oh, you're God. David, you're God? I didn't know you were God. So they say, too bad they didn't believe what's in here, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and those are rights that cannot be negotiated away, except that Dr. Dobson and David Barton and Kenneth Copeland listed on here, and Dr. Creflo Penny, and everyone else listed on here, a dozen others, they reduce the right to life to a second-tier negotiable issue. and they support National Right to Life doing that. And they support the whole Republican Party doing that and negotiating with a child's right to life. And say, well, we're going to pass this law. It says that you can only do abortions if you do them in this way. And they say, oh, yeah, we're against all abortions, but we can't get that. So we're going to consent to this. We're going to defend this law that says here are the Jews that you can kill, but you can't kill the other Jews, only you could kill these Jews. And if you don't think God looks at it that way, then you don't think. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. These are God-given, unalienable rights. Dr. Dobson, you have no right to negotiate with a child's right to life. And then to lie to Christians and say, well, this man is 100% pro-life. Oh, really? George W. Bush? He gave $2 billion to Planned Parenthood. How right to life is that? So anyway, we're manipulated by our leaders. So it goes on, we therefore declare that God grants life at conception, and no one has the right to take that life except. Could you believe it says except? Could you believe even in their alleged Christian full-page ad, it says except? We declare that God grants life at conception, and no one has the right to take that life except. Is that unbelievable? And they talk about if that child is a direct threat to the life of the mother, then you could kill the child. And that is totally immoral. If a pregnancy is threatening the life of the mother, you deliver the baby, you don't kill the baby. The mother may die. The baby may die. But you don't kill the mother to save the baby, and you don't kill the baby to save the mother. Partial birth abortion, Dr. Dobson's law, it said, except for the life of the mother. So what, you got an 8-month-old baby, and they want to kill the baby, of course, because that's who they are. And so the mother is ill, so they're delivering the baby to remove the baby, and then they stop with the baby's head still in the mother in the birth canal, and they kill the baby right at that point. Now, if they're trying to save the life of the mother, you deliver the baby, you don't stop 80% of the way to then take time to kill the baby, because that is killing the baby, that's not saving the mother. So when you have Dr. James Dobson, after decades in this, not understanding that there are no exceptions to God's enduring command, do not kill the innocent, do not murder, you don't do it. There is no circumstance under which you intentionally kill the innocent. They don't know that. And they don't care to know that, because they don't want to sound like extremists. And all the Republican politicians they support and they lie about, they advocate killing all kinds of kids, not only in this circumstance. And once you say, hey, you can kill these kids, then as Roe v. Wade points out, obviously you don't believe it's a child, because you can't kill somebody's child to save someone else. So Roe v. Wade, they exposed the hypocrisy of the leaders of the church. And they were right. Then they go on to say marriage was instituted by God between one man and one woman. Too bad they don't believe any of this. Why do I say that? Because they said Mitt Romney, he was their hero, and he's the father of homosexual marriage. So they're saying this right now to gin up support for Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton, even though Donald Trump is like the most pro-homo leader of the Republican Party there's ever been, even topping Mitt Romney. So, and Dr. Dobson has been supporting homosexual rights, equal rights for homosexuals for decades now. And if our Christian leaders support rights for homosexuals, where do you think the secular culture will take that? Because he's not a moral anchor. And there are very few churches today that are moral anchors. Very few believers who are moral anchors. So then they wrote, we reserve the right to refuse any mandate by the government that forces us to fund abortion. And that cracks me up because they all lie about George W. Bush. George W. Bush doubled the tax funding that went to Planned Parenthood from Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton gave them $1 billion. George W. Bush gave Planned Parenthood $2 billion. And Dr. Dobson has never admitted that once ever. Neither has David Barton. Neither has any of these. Creflo Penny, any of these. Never once admitted it. So what? They're okay with George W. Bush increasing taxes to give billions of dollars to the child-killing industry? And they lie about it and they cover it up for partisan politics? You think God, you think that's going to buy any favor with God when he points out all the hypocrisy and Christians lose their rewards and unbelievers go to hell? You think any of this partisan politics is going to buy anybody any kind of improved status on Judgment Day? And they say we oppose same-sex marriage, polygamy, bestiality, and all other forms of sexual perversion prohibited by Holy Scripture. Dr. Dobson advocates the legal production and distribution of pornography. How do I know that? Because I have confronted the leaders, the executive leaders of Focus on the Family, down at their headquarters, in their boardroom, confronted them. And they acknowledged, yes, Dr. Dobson does not support the decriminalization of pornography. It's a free speech right. So what good are Christian leaders who support the so-called right to produce pornography? You pay a woman to have sex and videotape it? He's never called for the recriminalization of pornography because he doesn't know that it was a crime for centuries. He doesn't know that adultery was a crime for thousands of years. He doesn't know it. Because he was educated as a secular psychologist, and even though he loves the Lord, he was unequipped for the spiritual battle that he took on. Then they write, what a beautiful thing. We proclaim that Jesus has provided the cure for all sin. You know, that really is beautiful, except that tragically, it's presented here as a manipulation to get Christians to support child killers and socialists and sodomites. And then they close saying we have the constitutional rights as Americans, and that's devastating because millions of people think your rights come from the government. And that's because our leaders call them constitutional rights. They are God-given rights. If they came from the Constitution, they could amend them away. God bless you.